Hello, Tony. It's really nice to talk to you again. This monthly thing is quite good, isn't it?
It is. I quite enjoy it, really. Well, no, not quite enjoy it. I really enjoy it, actually. It's probably
good.
The best way of saying it. I was going to say that there's been an issue all winter with getting out in the garden to do various things that perhaps maintenance-wise that we should have done. We haven't had the cold weather that is normally comes in with the season and the time of year, but we have had an inordinately large amount of rain, and the temperature hasn't really dipped low enough to stop things growing, has it?
No, it hasn't. We haven't had prolonged cold, and I think that's what it is, actually. We do get the occasional frost in the morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm not too far away from Redhill, Reigate, etc. So this morning it was a little bit sort of frosty. But other than that, it's okay. I have taken off the fleece in the cold greenhouse. But if there is a risk of really heavy frost, I'll just fling it over the top of it.
Yeah.
Everything looks okay. And the only other thing to say to everybody, although it's been cold and we've had a lot of rain, if you've got a cold greenhouse or somewhere where the plants are sheltered, do go and check that they actually have some water. Because although we've had plenty from the sky, if they're in pots and they're in undercover, then they do need just that little bit of water just to keep them ticking over.
Yeah, I mean, is there anything we need to do to the ground because it's been so wet before we actually plant anything this year?
No, not at the moment, Tony. Wait for it to dry out for a little bit. We did get some sun, didn't we, on Monday? So I think really what we need to do is to wait until the ground sort of starts. I mean, I take the dog out and I come back with, huge muddy boots, which I have to scrape the mud off. So I think it really, hang on, don't do too much. So.
Okay, which leads me really on to the first thing, because we at this time of year, there are things that really we should be planting. And I know you've got some tips, and you're very fond of things like sweet peas.
Ooh, yes, sweet peas. I grew some in October. They were not terribly successful, and I think that was because of the quality of the seed rather than anything that I'd done. But it's not too late to sow them now. And anybody can grow sweet peas, and you get this glorious array. You don't need to do all this posh stuff for, you know, taking off the laterals in order to make bigger blooms and longer stems. Just grow them. And so if you sow about 6 seeds, I suppose, in a 12 centimetre pot, and you fill it loosely with a multi-purpose peat-based, not peat-based compost. You can use perlite as well, actually. You don't need to soak or chip the seeds, because usually my grandfather always used to take a very sharp knife and just make a little nick in the seed coat. I don't bother. I've tried both ways, soaking them overnight and not soaking them. There doesn't seem to be that much difference. So pop them into a cold frame or a greenhouse or in a sheltered position outside if you wanted to. But you have to remember to protect them from slugs and, most of all, mice.
Yeah. Yeah, the trouble is you can't really find the mice, can you, because they're gone.
You just see
the evidence that they've been. How do you prevent? How do you prevent sort of mice getting at your stuff, short of actually putting netting over them? But the mice even get through that, don't they?
They do. I mean, the best way to put it down is with one of these sort of humane traps, really. I don't like a poison thing. And I'm like you, Tony. I've got dogs. So I wouldn't put down a poison thing in the garden anyway.
I've got to say, they enjoy the hunt, don't they? The dogs.
Yeah, well,
go out at night and they can
exactly.
hear. They can hear these little things rustling around, and Archie in particular goes bonkers at this, and he's off on the hunt. What he'd do if he found one, I don't know. I can't think much, and the mouse is probably going to look at him and go, huh, you?
Well, yes, exactly. You go.
But it is an issue. It's not just for things like that you're planting at this time of year. It's about protecting your garden permanently, isn't it?
Well, exactly. So really what you need to do is to start the seeds off now. February, you can do them in the autumn, as I say, but let's deal with February. So we start them off in February and keep the seedlings protected if possible. If you've got some that you sowed in the autumn, they're a very strange thing, sweet peas. They come out and one of the shoots goes almost horizontal. And then from that, where it bends over, the shoot will come straight up in the air, which, of course, is what you want. So then you snip off the horizontal one and then the upright one just goes on and on growing. So that's a bit. So you need to prepare a planting site. Now, you don't need to dig trenches and things like that. You can grow them in pots. And all you need is supports. Mm. So a pyramid of canes, a wire mesh tube, something like that.
Yeah.
Don't plant them out until probably the end of March. And, away you go. The perfume is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully by the end of March that the ground will have dried sufficiently as well.
Yeah, hopefully. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, from outside...
Yep.
Let's step inside for a minute because can't do lots of things outside at the moment, but houseplants still need looking after and feeding them properly because we get all the problems of, all the difficulties that central heating gives us.
Exactly. Yeah, there is a bit of a problem. I had an email sent to me this week of a lemon tree, which the lady had said belonged to her late husband. And this poor lemon tree, she'd forgotten to water it. She had remembered to take it out of the cold conservatory and put it indoors. But she hadn't watered it.
Oh, dear.
And so the leaves, they just look awful, absolutely awful.
Mm.
So she's going to repot it. But a little light feed for houseplants at this time of the year is absolutely fine. I always use a seaweed-based fertiliser, and I think that actually for houseplants is excellent. Don't overfeed to start with at this time of the year, because they're only just starting to get along and grow, aren't they?
I've got a house full of plants. I mean, my wife likes the old spider plants as well.
Oh, does she?
I can't stand the things because they just take over the place.
They go everywhere.
But she's got some other things going on in the house at the moment. She's trying to seed apples and stuff. But that's another story. We won't go there today.
We'll deal with that some other time.
Yeah. Feeding your house plants. I suppose be careful.
Yeah. The other thing is to remember as well, don't be a little bit like the tortoise. Now, he hibernates all through the winter, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does.
And then he comes out and he'll have a nibble of this and very slowly comes back to life. Do the same with you and your body, because if you suddenly go out and think, oh, I'm going to go and dig the allotment or I'm going to go and do this, all of a sudden you begin to go, why did I do that?
Yeah, the aches and pains.
Yeah, so be a little bit like the tortoise and do it gradually. That's one.
We'll get in touch with a medical expert for that one. The other thing that I was talking to my wife about, fairly recently, was actually tomatoes.
Right.
Because they need to be planted reasonably soon. But the two questions in this is, what varieties should you are best for growing in the UK? And what position in the garden and how much sunshine, as opposed to just being outside, should they actually get?
Well, your problem is that if you grow them out in the garden, you'll realise, you are prone to blight.
Yeah.
So my advice for that would be... always have blight-resistant varieties. Now, they say they are blight-resistant. It's not positive that they will stop getting blight.
Yeah.
But they are more resistant than other varieties. I really, really like Tumbling Tom.
Tumbling Tom. We've got to make a note of that.
Right, Tumbling Tom.
Yeah.
Grow it in a pot.
Yeah.
Or in a hanging basket. You would You would not be disappointed. I can't tell you. They are absolutely fabulous. So that's Tumbling Tom, yellow or red.
Mm.
And don't be too much of a hurry to sow them at the moment.
No.
Because a friend of mine said to me the other day, I've sown the chilies and I've sown the tomatoes. And they've gone like the clappers because we haven't had any cold weather. He said, and they're on the kitchen windowsill. They're about 2.5 foot tall, and I don't know what to do with them.
Oh, no, we haven't started yet.
No, and I wouldn't. I would wait until middle to the end of March.
All right.
You haven't got facilities with heated base and all that sort of thing.
No.
But let's go on to a couple of varieties.
Yeah.
Tumbling Tom, for me, is a good one. The big ones, do you like those great big ones?
What, like the beef tomatoes?
Yeah.
They have the uses, I'm thinking, but, you know, not exactly great on a salad plate, I don't think.
No, but they are, well, not on a salad plate, but if you slice them and put them on toast with a bit of cheese on the top.
Oh, stop it, I'm getting hungry.
Well, the variety that I really like is one called Marmande, M-A-R-M-A-N-D-E.
Marmande.
Yes.
Okay, sounds French.
Because the beefsteak ones take a long time to ripen, actually.
Yeah.
But this one is, and this one has hardly any seeds inside it either.
Oh, right.
So you get as much of the flesh as possible.
Yeah.
It is a later fruiting one.
Yeah.
Don't be too greedy if you're growing tomatoes outdoors.
Yeah.
Because don't pack them too close together. This is the tip.
I've got to say, I don't know what type we were growing last year. We got a lot of tomatoes last year.
Yeah.
I think they were in pots up against the back wall, up against the back wall of the house.
Yeah.
Got plenty of sunshine, but the end result was, of course, we had way too many tomatoes that we could eat. But what we did with it all is took all of the tomatoes and turned the whole lot into passata.
Which
we then froze, and we've had enough passata to do, you know, various different meals and stuff right the way through the winter. It's been absolutely phenomenal. And
well, it is, and this is what people need
goes well
to
in
do.
A lasagna, I can tell you, absolutely beautiful.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Oh, don't, you're making me feel hungry. Now, if you like the little tiny ones,
yeah.
the little cherry ones, one which is sweet aperitif. And sweet is obviously sweet, but
yeah.
A-P-E-R-I-T-I-F, right?
Yeah.
It's the only one for a cordon variety that never, ever disappoints you. The sweetness is unmatchable.
All right.
Honestly,
okay.
It's
sweet
unbelievable.
Aperitif.
Sweet aperitif. Little small cherry tomatoes. Smaller than a cherry. And the other one, oh, no, I grew this last year.
Yeah.
Yellow pear, P-E-A-R, and they look like little yellow pears.
Oh, right, okay.
They are lovely. It's sort of a form of, I suppose it's a plum tomato,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
And the other one, of course, if you want a half kilo fruit, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
He listens to us as well, does Big Daddy. Morning, young man.
Well, you will get a half kilo tomato.
All right.
If you like passatas and things like that,
yeah.
then that's the one to grow.
Okay.
I also like black Russian and
yeah.
I like black cherry, but I haven't got enough room. Why?
Well, all those different tomatoes, I think you'd probably have trouble eating the lot anyway. I'm making use of them all, but I think as individual types, I would guess that various different people will find them useful. Okay.
Oh, well.
Finally, this morning, to plants to prune, because, as you said, not a lot you can actually plant at the moment because of the wet ground.
The
tomatoes and those sorts of things are going to come along at the back end of March. Pruning is one of the things that takes place. What are we looking at pruning?
Well, one of the things that if you have ivy in the garden, particularly, and ivy flowers, of course, are a lovely source of nectar during the winter for all these bugs and everything that we're supposed to be looking after and the pollinators, etc. But now is the time to actually prune it. It is vigorous. You need to control it before the birds start nesting in it. That's the biggest thing. The other one is winter flowering shrubs. So, as soon as they stop flowering, that's the time to do it. Viburnum, winter viburnum. Christmas box, which is a thing called Sarcococca. And all those wintry ones, which are really good. Don't be tempted to cut the forsythia because you'll be cutting off the flower. Right? And the other thing to prune at this time of the year, just to end us up with, is summer flowering clematis. If they flower early in the summer, cut them down either to a framework or cut the later flowering ones down to the ground. I've got to do that this week, at the end of the week. I've got one called Polish Spirit, which is an unbelievable flower, dark, dark purple. And I cut it right down to the ground and it covers the whole of the fence by the end of September in full flower. Absolutely excellent.
Well, I think we've got some hints there. I think definitely of things to do. There's enough to be going on with for a month, I would say, wouldn't you?
I would hope so. And climbing roses can be done at the same time, actually, Tony, but
Yeah.
leave the rest of the roses until probably the end of March.
Okay. All right. That's fine, Jean. We've covered a whole multitude of things this morning. Thank you for talking with us.
That's
And
all right.
we'll have another look at our garden in a month's time. But for now, Jean Griffin, thank you.
Thank you.